We're here with Aaron Chase. Aaron, I want to ask you, how long have you been a comedian?
I've been doing improv since I was like 14, but stand-up comedy consistently about 4 or 5 years now.
Definitely. And you go to downtown Redlands regularly to do comedy and lately to do activism. What's that like, and why did you choose Redlands?
I used to do street performing and music and stuff in downtown Riverside, and then it just got too crazy. And so I decided I wanted to be able to do stand-up comedy. This is before the coronavirus, but I wanted to be able to do stand-up comedy without anybody telling me anything. Like, I just wanted to be able to perform in the way I wanted to. And I figured if I could do it on the street, similar to Dave Chappelle. Apparently, Dave Chappelle used to do that right after he quit the Chappelle Show. And I always I just want to be a great comedian, so I figure I might as well emulate the great comedians. And I picked Redlands because it was a calmish place. It was quiet, and it was a place where people seemed to be willing to sit down and listen and not be crazy. But as far as now, I guess apparently I'm an activist now. as far as all of that, I guess I'm just kind of blown away by all of this. I would feel weird calling myself an activist per se, because I don't feel like I'm educated enough to say that. I guess I would call myself a comedian that supports Black Lives Matter and just has a voice in that. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. If you don't mind me asking, what were some of the crazy encounters you had in downtown Riverside?
Oh, geez. Oh, boy. Okay. Getting called an N-word a fair amount. What else? I've had, there was a drive-by shooting one time. I was out there with, I'm like mostly rap and like funk and jazz when I play, but I was out there with some punk rock kids, and that became crazy. So I stopped doing that because it was just too much. And then in doing street stand-up, because, you know, my goal is to be a comedian, in doing street stand-up, it was, you know, before the killing of Mr. Floyd, it was really positive, actually. Everybody was appreciative. Everyone came out. I think the coronavirus was making people kind of stir crazy, so they just appreciated any sort of live performing. But since then, since the death and since me going out there and I guess leaning more into activism than comedy, it has been a mixture of heartwarming and appreciative and supportive and horrific and horrifying and disgusting and disappointing.
And that's your experiences in Redlands too, right?
Yeah, I was out there. This was before George's death. I got called, and I'll censure myself again, I got called an N-word terrorist, which I didn't realize was even a word. Apparently that's a thing people are saying now, but I was an N-word terrorist.
Wow.
Yeah. I got, before that, I was performing down the street on State. It was right outside the State, outside the candy shop and the Chinese food place. And there's this guy out there. I won't say his restaurant, partly because I don't want to cause problems for him, and partly because I don't want to support his business. But he kept calling the cops on me for months, and then he got it up to the police chief, and so good 7 cops came out for a skinny dude telling jokes, which was kind of disturbing. Had people scream F your protest, F Black Lives Matter, F you, what else? Just some pretty aggressive stuff, I guess.
Yeah, but at the same time, you said you experienced some heartwarming things, right?
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. 100%. I've had the amount of people that honk, that throw up the fist, that say Black Lives Matter. And where I grew up in Riverside, I was usually the only Black person. And you got to understand, this is the 90s. This is pre-social media and pre all this stuff. I would tell white people, all my friends, I would tell my church group or whatever, I would tell them all about what was going on to me. Whether it was neighbors harassing us or skinheads or police officers, and people wouldn't listen. A lot of the white people I was around would say things like, well, what did you do? How did you instigate? Or how were you dressed? Or what? Like, they just wouldn't believe me, essentially. And when I've been out there, it is a lot more. There's a lot of white people out there that are showing support and acknowledging this stuff. And it really is appreciated to finally feel like this is finally being heard. You know what I mean?
Do you ever, this is kind of a personal question, do you ever fear for your safety being out there?
All the time. Dude, oh man. All the time, man. I was kind of concerned before coronavirus and before protests. There's crazy people out there. But now it is terrifying. It's scary because I don't feel like, in the same way that I don't know if I can appropriately call myself an activist, I don't feel like I would be properly utilized in a classic protest of chance. I'm clearly too long-winded, as you can tell right now, for chance. But I feel like my art form I respect and I think has always been, and within America, has always been a place of pointing things out that are wrong with society. And Dave Chappelle, I'm assuming you know Dave Chappelle.
Yes.
He's hands down my favorite comedian. I look up to that guy in many ways. And on one of his specials, Bird Revelation, he says something to the effect of, to all the comedians out there, you have a responsibility or you have a duty to speak recklessly. You have a duty to speak recklessly. And I take that to heart. And when he says that, when he stands up there for me and he tells these jokes that I relate to, that other people can hear, I feel like I should, emulate the best and try to do that. But it's scary. It's really scary.
Yeah, I was going to ask what keeps you going amidst all that scariness, but it sounds like you have that quote from Dave Chappelle and maybe a sense of responsibility.
Yeah, I would say it's a mixture of responsibility, anger, a really unhealthy need for attention, and really unhealthy need for attention, and a feeling of helplessness. I get confused by all of it, and I get confused in that I just want to be treated like a person, and I've been saying that my entire life, and my family's been saying that their entire lives, and this is what happens. I know that I don't support looting and rioting. I don't think that's okay. But at the same time, I would ask people, what do you expect? When you can't take a knee and when you can't peacefully protest and you can't riot, what else do you do? So,
what's next for you as a comedian?
I don't know.
I assume you're going to keep doing what you're doing out in Redlands, but do you have any plans? I know it's probably difficult with coronavirus.
Yeah. My plan is. So Bill Burr, I don't know if you know Bill Burr, the comedian.
Yes.
He said something that was really important to me. He said, I don't know if you can tell, I listen to a lot of comedians and I like them. But he said something important. He said that his career really took off when he stopped trying to focus on the career part and the money and all that stuff and fame. And he just focused on being undeniably funny. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm 5 years in. I don't know if you know the career path of comedians, but generally speaking, it takes a good 10 to 15 years of hard work, of going on stage every day, writing every day, performing and stepping out of your comfort zone, trying new things. And so for me, I guess my goal is to just be undeniably funny and be as authentic to myself as possible and hope that people resonate with that.
Okay. Is there anything else that you want the public to know?
Boy, how much time do I have? Can I talk for a while?
You can talk for a while. We have a couple minutes, yeah.
Okay. I guess I would say, listen, please. Like, just listen and understand that people are angry and understand why. And I guess, okay, you know what? I think I have a good example. So pre-Me Too movement, I'm a man, in case you couldn't tell by my husky, sexy voice, but I'm a man. And pre-Me Too movement, when Cosby was getting caught up and Weinstein, all that stuff, there was this piece of me that was like, okay, guys, come on, let's all settle down. But then the more people, the more women that started talking about it and the more allegations that came out, it got to a point where I was like, all right, I mean, it would be really crazy for me to discount this many people. Maybe I should just put my pride aside and put my perspective aside and just listen. And that's what I want. is for people to, if you know, if you're Blue Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, conservative, Trump person, you know, I'm sure you're probably not listening to NPR, but if you are, just take a second and just listen and understand that we're scared, and that's what it is. It's not a hatred of the cops, at least not for me. I don't hate the police. I just, I'm afraid of them, and I'm afraid of the people that I live around. I'm afraid of my neighbors, and I shouldn't be. I feel like I should be treated like an American like everybody else, and I should be treated with just mild level of respect like everybody else. And I guess if I were to ask anything of the police right now, just take a knee. Hold your ground, hold your line, do your job, and I respect doing your job. Take a knee and show people that this isn't personal. And I think that's what I would say.
Okay, and lastly, do you have like a website or anything I can send people to?
Yeah, I have my Instagram, AaronChase91. That's Aaron, A-A-Ron, as people have been calling me for the past like 5 years. Chase like the bank, and then 91, the year of the Rugrats.
Okay.
And then I also... I'm a 90s baby for sure. I own a business, a comedy production company with a business partner of mine, George Ferrito. If you look up the Buddy System Co. CEO on Instagram or the Buddy System Comedy on YouTube, we have podcasts up there. We also have a Podbean. So if you want, it feels kind of weird even advertising myself right now, but if you want to check all that stuff out, you can, and hopefully it brings some mild levity, I guess.
Aaron Chase, thanks so much for doing this. I appreciate it.
Thank you as well, man. Thank you.